grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. A lot of life is learning the rules. When you start a new job, or you join a new church, or even when you begin a new class here at the seminary, one of the most important things to do is to learn the rules, the standards, the procedures of the group that you're joining. If you learn them early and well, you'll know how to fit in, how to do your part, how to succeed. But if for some reason or other you don't learn the rules right away, your chances of success diminish the longer you participate without knowing how the group actually operates, and specifically what you're supposed to do within that group. Now, rules go by a lot of different names. They range from manners to morals, from rituals to law codes. Sometimes they're explicitly taught. Other times they're just caught by observation, participation. But in every situation, every circumstance, they are there. In fact, they have to be there. Because man is a social animal. And that means that he was meant to live in society, live with others. Therefore, rules are basic to human existence. Take away the rules and you destroy human community. Now, I know that most people appreciate a break from the rules from time to time, whether it's carnival before Lent, or it's roasting your boss, or it's having a teacher who lets you out of class 10 minutes early. We appreciate not having to follow the rules all the time. But you know what? Even here, there are rules about how and when to depart from the rules. Carnival is not celebrated in Holy Week. Kidding your boss does not include making slurs on his mother. And a teacher who is always cutting class angers us for wasting our time and our tuition. We are a rule-bound people. We need the rules. We like the rules. I suppose it's no surprise, then, to find that rules and religion also go together very nicely. Our relationship with the personal God is analogous to our relationship with other men, and so rules seem to be central. And you know, this is as true for Christians as it is for non-Christians. We are little, our parents teach us how to pray by folding our hands and bowing our heads. And then when we're grown up and we come to the seminary, well, we learn how to pray by raising our hands and raising our heads. And all kinds of other rules, doing what pastors need to do as they carry out their duties. At every level, then, when we're asked the question, how to be a Christian, the answer is at least in part, do the rules. Of course, there are more important rules than just ceremonial ones. There's also the moral law. But the principle is still the same. A right relationship with God somehow seems to be based upon not doing some things, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, but on the other hand, doing these things, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother and the like. So here again we find rules, and I think we all find them rather comforting. They provide a framework for understanding. They orient us toward our task. They make it possible for us to live in a right relationship with God. Or do they? In this morning's scripture reading, Paul refers to a religion of law as a religion of death. The letter kills, he says, but the Spirit gives life. And just what is this killing letter to which he refers? Nothing less than the law that God gave through Moses. Not man-made rules, not laws of our own invention, not even the laws of the church. Paul's not talking about any of these. But instead, he's referring to rules that came down from Mount Sinai through Moses, the ones that God himself wrote on those two tablets. It's of this law that Paul says the ministry that brought death was engraved in letters on stone. Now, I know we've heard this a lot of times before, and probably we just now take it for granted, but you know, it really is an extraordinary statement. And it shows the radical character of Christianity. The laws that God Himself gave to man lead only to death. All of a sudden, the rules are no longer that comforting. All of a sudden, the basis for our relationship with God crumbles beneath our feet. Instead of rules for living, we discover that they are laws for dying. I suppose that from one point of view, this is never a surprise. After all, what happens to even the best of the law keepers among us? The most respectable, the nicest, the most earnest. I mean, the best possible people that you can imagine. What happens? They die. All of their law keeping didn't seem to matter. The law doesn't work to bring life even for them. But you know, there's an even more profound way in which the law kills. When once it goes beyond the external, when once it penetrates that kind of tough shell of our hypocrisy to leave bare our true selves. For in spite of the comfort that we find in the rules, in our hearts, we're not real lovers of the law at all. We may not steal, but we covet and envy. We may not commit adultery, but we lust. We may not murder, but we sure get angry and resentful. The human heart seethes with wickedness of every description. And that's what the law uncovers. That's what the law reveals. And that's how the law kills. There is no life in the law because there's no good in us. Oh, we may make a fine show, we may follow the rules well, we may do it all, except where it counts, in our hearts, in our minds, in our motives. We don't love the rules. There is no life in the law. There is no good in us. We are dead. We are killed by the law. Which is why, of course, God doesn't call us to be ministers of the law, but ministers of the gospel. Or as Paul says in this text, of the new covenant, the new arrangement between God and man, whereby we look not to Sinai, but to Calvary. Whereby we look not to Moses, the lawgiver, but to Jesus, the lawbearer. Indeed, we might say to Jesus, the lawbreaker, the Son of God, burdened with our sins, cursed, dead on the cross for our sins, killed, if you will, by the law, in order that we might live. However much then by nature we delight in the rules, God's Spirit calls us by the gospel to live without the rules, by living in Christ. In Jesus there is forgiveness. In Jesus there is heaven. In Jesus there is resurrection. In Jesus and in Him alone there is life. Life before God and life in communion and behalf of our neighbor, freed from the rules to live selflessly in love for others. But without Jesus, what do we have? The rules, of course. And death. Now, don't get me wrong this morning. Rules work fine in society. We have to learn them. In this life, they're absolutely necessary at the workplace, in the classroom, in our communities. But they don't work at all with God. Instead, they kill. Unfortunately, it's always too easy for us to fall back into a religion of rules, for legalism is our natural calling. But Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel, for the gospel, and not by the law. He's called us to life, not death. That's our hope. And it's also our message, because we preach Jesus. Now the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus.